Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 230, recorded December 15th, 2014.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello.
Sorry about our long hiatus. 2 whole weeks.
It was long.
It was a long hiatus, but it was good reasons. Well, not good reasons, but unavoidable reasons.
I was sick and Russ was back out again, so...
Yeah.
Which he's still working on fixing.
Yeah. Definitely, so but...
We were mostly dead all day.
I'm, in fact, podcasting right now from a reclining position. Out of necessity.
How many times would you ever hear that sentence in your life? I'm podcasting today from a reclining position.
Well, at least once. For all of our listeners.
Yes.
Well, twice, because you just repeated it.
So oh, well, know. See? We bring such joy to your lives. What would you do without
oddities.
Us?
Such oddities.
Yes.
So, there you go. But at least we're in a position to podcast at all. That's good.
Okay, next week I'm going to ask you what your podcasting position is.
Okay.
Okay.
Highly in favor! Okay. So, yes, we're back. And we're still alive, and that's good. So, who will be contributing today?
Well, we have Mick in Carnforth, UK, and we have Tony in New York.
Yay, Mick, and yay, Tony. Thank you for joining us. You are making our podcast today, because without you, we would have very little
only
to speak
of. Us, how boring.
Okay.
Yes,
so
okay.
So,
Mick says, sorry it's been a while since I have been in touch, to which we say... We can hardly talk.
Because we're in the same proverbial yes. boat.
Says the pressures of being a pet shop magnate. It was really interesting to hear your remarks about the tattooed overdyed fish. There's a campaign here in the UK run by Practical Fish Keeping Magazine, which aquatic retailers can sign up to, called the Dyed Fish Campaign. And he put the link in, so we can put that in. And it's, you know, against that kind of fish production.
Right.
How do they actually do that? Do they really like a needle like a normal tattoo, like a human tattoo? What do they do?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Kind of scary.
But I wish they would stop. And yeah. I'm glad that Mick has forwarded that to us, and I hope lots of people sign up.
Yes. And he goes on to say, needless to say, we at Fangs and Fins do not sell these types of animals. My aquatic society also forbids the sale of such at its auctions and club meetings. Yay!
Good for them.
Yes. There was a trend in China some time ago for bespoke messages to be tattooed onto the sides of fish, such as Moonlight Grammys bearing the legend, I love you, in pink text for Valentine's Day. How romantic. Not.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. I think Moonlight Grammys are beautiful fish. And it would be a pity to see them damaged,
it's
compromised
like
in such a way.
Graffiti.
Yeah. It's like drawing a mustache on a marble statue.
Yeah, except without any of the humor.
Right.
Okay, he says, I did hear that a local breeder of albino axolotls was selling them via a pet classified site, informing people that you can, quote, inject them with food coloring to make them more interesting, end quote. That's too sad.
Hey, let's inject me with some food coloring and see how
well,
interesting
that makes
I
you
get.
More, well, you can actually do that. You can go down to the tattoo shop. It's not food coloring, but... So maybe these people who want tattooed fish, they should go tattoo themselves instead.
Maybe so.
They can get I love you in pink text all the way across their forehead.
Yeah.
See how they like
there
it.
There you go. Yep.
Besides which, axolotls are so cute. You don't need to do anything to make them more interesting.
And they actually come in quite a variety of colors.
Anyways.
Yeah. You can get the natural color. You can get the melanistic ones. You can get the albino ones. They have leucistic ones. They have piebald ones. They've got all kinds of things going on.
And they're like a little puppy. Their faces are like little puppy faces.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need words on them or injecting with food coloring.
No. Although, you remember that guy in Hawaii? The rainbow pigeon guy?
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
It was a little psychedelic.
Yeah.
Did he dive? Did he give them, like, bass with food coloring?
He gave them
something?
Food coloring in their diet, I think he said. He had these
kind
white
of like
pigeons.
Shrimp turning birds red? Except
sort of like that, I guess.
Yeah. Not in a naturalistic not kind of a, way.
They weren't
characters. It was Uncle Doug's Rainbow Pigeons. That's what it was.
Yeah.
We went to go see his show once because we're like, what the heck?
Library.
What is that? And he had all these pigeons.
They were homing pigeons. They were white ones.
Yeah, they're homing pigeons.
They used to be white. Now they're all different colors. They had orange ones and pink ones and blue ones and whatnot.
And it was a little psychedelic.
Why are they all those different colors? He said something about food coloring. I don't know, but that's what it reminded me of.
But anyway. A little weird. Oh, excuse me.
Okay, so.
So.
Where were we?
Mick says, so now I have climbed back down from my soapbox. Let me probably be the last person to say a big congratulations to Kelly on getting the Cresty. Thank you very much. They are really great geckos, and although a little lively when young, soon become great interactive pets. Also, no need for feeder bugs, just makes the tub of Rapashi do a bit more work along with the morning geckos.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell them a little bit about the fun you've been having with
about
Tiki.
About my Cresty Tiki. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's Timbuktu, and we call her Tiki for short.
This is funny. I know a guy who speaks, I'm trying to remember which language from the Philippines he speaks. I don't remember now. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he said they have two kinds of geckos they see a lot there. The big ones they call tokos, and the little ones they call tikis.
Yay!
So that was kind of fun.
That was pretty cool. Because of the noises they make? Isn't that what you said?
At least the toko comes from the noise they make. I don't know about the tiki. Anyway, it was kind of fun.
But she actually is really liking the bugs.
Yeah.
Since we have them anyways.
We have all kinds of little feeder critters for, you know, fish, for our geckos and everything, so we have been giving her...
Well, we've given her several different kinds of bugs, but she really likes the bean beetles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, they're like gecko popcorn or something.
Yeah, whatever it is about them, she seems to really
she
like really
them. She really likes those. She's liked the isopods, and she's eaten some fruit flies and
she
some
likes the
flower beetle larvae
too, yeah.
And, but it's really funny, because she's a sweet little... you know, gecko, and then you bring the bugs out, and she's just, like, got her hunter face on, and her whole demeanor changes, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna get me some bugs.
It's really quite visible. It's funny.
It's really cute. She's like, ninja gecko.
And it seems to have boosted her growth, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's growing faster on them. So she gets the, you know, like, the mix, the gecko mix.
Crested gecko
diet. And then we alternate that with the bugs.
Yeah, we do so. 2 days of crested gecko diet, and then a bug day, and then repeat.
Yeah.
And we do the same thing for the morning geckos. And it is nice that we have the same diet for the morning geckos, and...
Yep, we just feed everybody at once.
We're going through it a lot faster. The first time, when we just had a couple of morning geckos, we went through it. It took a whole year, to go through a container of it.
The one bottle.
And then we got... more baby geckos, and now we have a lot more baby geckos and adult geckos pretty much now, because some of the babies are almost grown up, but now we also have the crested gecko, and so we're going through the food a lot faster. But the bugs are really fun to watch her eat, and Kelly feeds her by hand.
She does. She always eats the bugs when she's out. She really likes coming out of her little enclosure. She jumps right up on your hand, and she likes to do the little thing where you stair-step your hands. So she'll do that first when she gets out. It's like she's taking her little constitutional for the day. And then she'll kind of settle in and she, you know, licks her face and licks her eyeballs. And then she says, okay, I'm ready. What are you going to feed me?
Yeah, it's fun.
So when she's out, I feed her. The first day of the crested gecko diet, I feed her some of that on my finger. And she licks that right up and likes that a lot. And then I feed her the bugs in like a little dish in my hand. And she goes in and snaps them all up.
Yeah. And we watch her do it, and she has a ball, being a little hunter. It's fun.
So when she comes out, and she just walks around the house with me, and checks to see what everybody's doing, and makes the rounds, and says hello, and it's very cute. Okay, so back to Mick's email. He says, I also remember you talking about Badis recently. They are very cool anabantids and ideal for small tanks. The males can be a little aggressive, though, with other males and the females at times. There's an article written by a friend of mine about them. Follow the link below. And he put up the link, and then he says you click on breeding articles and then on other species, and you'll see the Dario Dario. So we'll put that link up.
I love that article. I read it right after Mick sent it, in fact, within a day or two. Read the article, really enjoyed it. It was fun to Just to give you a little teaser, the author set up a pretty big tank considering the size of the fish. I think he said it was 30 inches long, so maybe it was a 20-gallon long. I could be wrong. Maybe it was 36. I don't remember. But fairly large tank. Set up a little group with a number of females, as I recall, and at least one male, maybe more. And it was a heavily planted tank with a lot of floating plants. And pretty soon he started noticing tiny fry floating up near the top. And he would pull them out and put them into another tank and grow them out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sounds like it would be cool. A pretty easy breeding project. And they're such beautiful little fish.
Yeah, well, you know, you have space in your office tank. You don't have anything in there except assassin snails. So maybe Santa a couple of should shrimp. Yeah. Bring you a badass in your stocking.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be a soggy stocking, though, wouldn't it?
Well, it would have to be in a bag or something.
Well, he could bring me a gift certificate.
He could bring you a... There you go.
And then I could bring...
We could do that. One. Yeah.
I love those fish. They require pretty much live foods.
Well, I think we're okay
we're
there.
We're probably okay on that front. We have quite a few of those. Yeah. So, okay.
Mm-hmm. He says, I have finally set up a small tank in the fish animal room at home for breeding again. I have had a problem getting good quality endlers for the shop. I managed to get a few females on one of my deliveries about a month ago, and now have around a dozen fry swelling the ranks. Very exciting.
Yeah, those are amazing little fish.
They're very pretty.
They're like guppies, except for more brilliantly colored.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I like about them, too, is that in general they're not as overbred as guppies can be. I mean, you can find some good, healthy, nice strains of guppies these days, but the endlers, you know, they just haven't been at it for as long, and there are various locales from which they're collected that have different color varieties, and genetically they seem to be more stable. It's easier to fix a strain of endlers, as I understand it, than it is guppies. As long as you're not mixing with all others, but you know, you can... like if you take wild type guppies and you reproduce them, you're not going to get, in a generation or so, you're not going to get males who look like their parents, look like their father. But with endlers, it's a little easier to get them to look a lot.
That's good.
More like the father. So anyway, yeah, fun stuff.
Well, thank you for your email, Mick. It's good to hear from you again.
And he's got some secret stuff that we'll be finding out, hopefully, more about soon.
Yes, but you can't say it yet.
Oh, I won't say it yet. Okay.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. Okay, so we're going to go on to Tony now.
Okay.
He says, greetings, Tony Aquarimax. Tony in New York. In fact, he was about to say that.
Was he really?
Yes, oh. It says, greetings, Aquarimax. Tony from New York here.
Oh, okay. I jumped the gun then, didn't
I? That's okay. I have been working along on my fish room setup, and I'm thinking about RO water. I have learned that producing RO water creates a lot of gray water in addition to the pure RO. I was wondering, can I use the gray water in my other aquariums? Not in the discus tank, of course, but maybe in a cichlid tank? Or is the gray water best left for some other purpose? Let me know what you think, and all my best from New York.
Okay, so this is a great question, and before I answer the question, I want to talk a little bit about what RO is, because some people might not know.
Okay.
We might have new listeners or listeners who haven't learned about this yet. RO stands for reverse osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, osmosis is the process of, you know, when you have a semi-permeable membrane and you have...
Okay, I would just like to point out the fact again that you said podcasting position and semi-permeable membrane.
In the same podcast.
In the same podcast.
Well, okay.
Just because.
Just because.
Because it's, you know... Okay, go ahead.
Well, basically the idea with the reverse osmosis, I'm probably skipping some steps here anyway, but Reverse osmosis is when you have a membrane that, instead of causing an equilibrium of concentration gradients on both sides of the membrane, mm-hmm. as in osmosis.
Basically, where it tries to even out, so it's the same on both sides of the membrane. Osmosis tries to
even out, yeah. Flows down a concentration gradient until the concentration reaches equilibrium on both sides. See? Okay. The membrane. In reverse osmosis, you're forcing water through a membrane in such a way, the membrane is constructed in this way and the process is set up and the way the water works under pressure and so on, is that you have water with very low concentration of dissolved solids coming out one end, and that's the water you're trying to produce, that you want to mm-hmm. use, the reverse osmosis filtered water. Where
there's osmosified.
There's very little in it. It's very pure water. It's not 100% pure, but it's really pure.
But there's low mineral content.
Yeah, there's very, very little in it, but water itself. On the other side of the membrane, you kept all the minerals that would have gone into it. So that's the gray water that Tony is referring to. Very high in minerals, higher than tap water, because now you've got, you know, the very low mineral stuff and the high mineral stuff separated. And that's what you want to do. But anyway, the gray water, which can also refer to like wastewater from like a sink or something, mm-hmm. but in this case, you know, we're referring to the wastewater from the RO, can indeed be used for rift lake cichlids, such as Mbunas from Lake Malawi.
Oh, there you go.
Or Lake Tanganyikan cichlids or Lake and Victorian cichlids. And
you were saying cichlids. That's because they like that high mineral content.
Yes, the high mineral content is very similar to the high mineral content they'd get in their natural habitat.
Okay.
So that would be a perfect use for it. If you're going to do some rift lake cichlids in your fish room, there you go.
Perfect.
You wouldn't want to use it for the, you know, other cichlids that were from like blackwater habitats or, you know, like discus, where mm-hmm. the...
Like he says.
Yeah, they have very low dissolved solids, and so that's why he's making the RO water for the discus specifically. So some cichlids are great with it, some are not, but the rift lake cichlid specifically would be happy to have it.
Okay.
And it does depend on which kind of RO water you're doing. Some kinds of RO water membranes are intended to be used with chlorinated water, and some of them aren't. So depending on which type of membrane you're using, that would be something to think about, because the wastewater may need to be chlorinated, or it may already be chlorinated before it becomes wastewater. But anyway, that's kind of off the subject, I suppose. But there you go. Your query was correct when you were wondering if it would be good for cichlids. It is, as long as it's the type of cichlids that are rift lake cichlids or others with similar requirements.
Alrighty. So thanks for writing in, Tony.
Yes.
And
thank you very much.
The rest of you guys, we'll be back on track now. So next week is Christmas, but we will still have
a podcast
for you. In fact, mm-hmm. if it comes out on Wednesday, it will come out on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So what a lovely present for you.
For those of you who celebrate Christmas, hey, there you go. You get Aquarimax mm-hmm. Christmas Eve. And if you don't, you still get one on the 24th. So there yes. you go. So, we were going to talk a little bit about our tank, too.
What oh, we've yes. been doing. Okay.
Our tanks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them. One is that we mentioned in our last podcast that we had gone to the pet store and purchased some Amazon Frogbit and some Water Sprite.
Yes.
Because the plants hadn't bounced back from the lighting issue that we'd had before quite as much as we had hoped. And so, the algae balance was a little off. And I am happy to report that it's worked like a charm. The Amazon frog bit is acting as an excellent nutrient sponge along with the water sprite, proliferating at the surface of the water. It's kind of fun because when I feed the fish wingless fruit flies jump up onto the mm-hmm. plants, and it's sort of a time release thing because the fish, you know, surround the plants, the Amazon frog bit leaves, and wait for the flies to come off and stuff, and it's fun. So probably not fun for the flies, but anyway, enrichment for the fish.
Yes.
And... I really like this type of water sprite. I've had Amazon Frogbit before, and the only reason I didn't have it was because our amphipods ate it. I had a time when there were only shrimp and amphipods in that tank, basically, and the amphipods just loved the frogbit and ate it all. But I was going to say that the water sprite, I've had water sprite before, but it's been a different type. This type has very finely branched leaves, which I like. The other kinds that I've had don't have very finely branched leaves, but this one does, and I find it quite attractive. It's nice. So it's fun to have a new type of plant that I hadn't had before. And also, the critical period is over for our new fish, and he is safely, he's doing well. He's in with Pondy, our goldfish we had before.
Yes, she was lonely.
Because we'd had Black-Eyed Susan for a number of years, but finally Black-Eyed Susan passed away. And
so Pondy was
a little early, because it was only like 5 years or something.
Yeah.
Which is not long at all for a goldfish. But I think it was some buoyancy issues that kind of caused some stress, and we weren't able to completely resolve them. But anyway, we decided to get another single-tailed goldfish, as they seem to be quite a bit hardier. They don't have the buoyancy issues so much. And so Pondy was already a pond comet.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell the derivation of the name, just in case people are wondering.
Oh yes. I think we explained when we first got Pondy. She's mostly white with red on the top of her head, like, you know, a redhead, and on her mouth, like she's wearing lipstick. And we named her after Amelia Pond from Doctor Who.
Yes.
So, and we'd call her Pondy.
Which is a nickname that she gets in the show.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are not well-versed in Doctor
Who. And if you aren't well-versed in Doctor Who, then go watch it and get well-versed, because it's probably the best thing to come out of Britain in recent years, except, of course, for Fangs and Fins.
Well, anyway, it's a fun show. I wouldn't know if I'd go that far to say it's the best. Well, but Fangs and Fins definitely is.
Well, I will take Doctor Who over the Beatles any day, and I might get lynched for that.
But I take Fangs and Fins over Doctor Who, too, yeah. I must say. We ought to go there someday.
That would be super fun.
But anyway, where were we? We were saying, okay.
Pondy, so, and we got her a companion, mm-hmm. who we appropriately named Rory.
Yeah, named after her first boyfriend and later husband in the series.
Mm-hmm.
A fun thing, that this is how we obtained Rory. We were wondering about a fish, and we wanted to find, you know, not just any fish. When we
you
go
always
to
have
get
to find a goldfish that kind of talks to you.
Yeah, we have. When we get goldfish, we look at them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go into the store and look at them, like, for half an hour and see if there are any fish that just kind of go, pick me!
Mm-hmm.
And if there aren't, we don't get one.
We wait until we find one like that.
A different day. And we had gone and looked at a few fish before, and we were looking around in the shop, and didn't see any that's really caught our eye, and the manager of the aquatic section came over and was asking us about what we were looking for. And one thing I really liked is he asked us how big our tank was.
Yes, he did a very good job.
And we told him it was 37 gallons and there was only going to be one other goldfish in there with it. And he said, oh, okay, good. And so we were quite pleased that he was doing that instead of saying, oh, I got a bowl over here I can sell you and some beachfront
right.
property in Arizona and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, like some people have been known to do. So we were proud of him that he was asking mm-hmm. some good questions. And we told him our situation and said we're looking for a friend for this fish. And he was showing us, like he said, oh, and we've got red caparandas on sale and stuff. And I think we told him about our single-tail preference this time. We wanted
right.
a single-tail fish. And he said, oh, you know what? We've got some for adoption that are free. They just need a good home. So he brought us over to the tank. And we looked in the tank. And they had a couple of single-tail goldfish in there. Just like common goldfish. The most basic goldfish mm-hmm. you can get that's still a goldfish. It's not a crucian carp. And it was there was one specifically that stood out to us. It was a nice, rich orange. It had spent time outdoors in a pond and had recently been brought in, I think, just because the pond was due to freeze over or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know the entire story, but he told us, I believe, that it had come from a pond and
mm-hmm.
needed a home. And so it wasn't one of the poor, sick feeder goldfish that are never a good idea to bring mm-hmm. home as a pet, because you have to nurse them back to health, and that doesn't always work. But anyway, nice, healthy, robust-looking fish had spent time outside. And its pattern, although it's an orange fish in general, but it's a nice, rich orange. But it's nowhere near the red that Pondy has on her.
No, she's got red and he's orange.
Yeah. But
but that's okay because Rory's sort of a ginger.
Is he?
He's a little bit gingery.
There you go.
And Amy has red hair, so.
There you go. And the nice thing about it is its fins are all white, but they're very nicely proportioned and they're very nicely colored in that there's a very even sort of white border around all of his fins. And then his body is almost uniformly orange, although on one shoulder he has a white patch.
So it's kind of like almost a butterfly betta, yeah, except a goldfish.
The effect that you get with a butterfly betta where you have the one color on the interior of the body and part of the fins, and then you have another color on the outside, and it's nice and symmetrical and beautiful. You get a very similar effect with this goldfish, so it's just nice. And so we've got Rory and Pondy, and they are doing well and seem to be buddies, although Rory is still a little bit timid.
But that kind of fits with his character at the beginning of the show anyways.
So. It was a little like that at the beginning.
He has to go through his centurion phase. Ordeal first, and then he'll toughen up.
Yeah. Okay.
Next time we get a goldfish, it's going to be the doctor.
Yeah, we were thinking of making a goldfish stand and canopy that is blue and looks like a TARDIS.
That would be awesome.
I don't know if we'll ever do that, but the kids would love it.
It would be really super cool.
Yep.
Okay. Be the geekiest fish tank in town.
Right. Especially if you could, like, push a button on it and it would make the little noise and the light at the top would flash.
Yeah, see? Every time you feed them.
Hey, the, that, you could then hook they up would the be like their feeder.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, that's probably enough geekiness for now.
Yes.
Especially since some people are saying,
what the heck are you talking about?
But, okay. I think that's about it for now. We're glad to be back. Hopefully the next time we're back, I can actually be recording in a sitting position.
Okay. I'll have to ask you next time, what is your podcasting position?
And I'll say, I'm strongly in favor of podcasting. Okay. Well, there's episode 230 for you, ladies and gentlemen.
So may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.